Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I apologize if my voice is a little funky today. I've been sick, so if I'm sounding like Bea Arthur, shout out to her, but hopefully I'll be better by next week. I've got Mary Beth Decker with me today. She's a pet communicator from Sacred Grove Pets. I'm really excited to talk to her. Animal communication is pretty fascinating. So we're just going to get started. Mary Beth, are you there?
Yeah, I sure am. Thanks.
Hey, how are you today?
Pretty good. We got an overcast, warm, balmy day in Alexandria, Virginia. It's not bad.
Oh, that sounds so much better. We got like swampy gray day here in Brooklyn, but hopefully we'll be getting some sunshine soon. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on the phone and being interviewed with me today. I'm really excited to talk to my guests about what you do. So if it's okay with you, I'd just like to get started.
Yeah, I'm really excited about being here, too, so
yay.
Let's do it.
Thank you. So let's start off by, can you explain to us what it is that you do?
Yeah, I'm an intuitive animal communicator, which means to me that I use telepathy to contact animals and to provide information back and forth with the people who are in their family. You know, we can do it back and forth, and then there's a real communication that happens at a level that you just don't get in the regular world. And there's all kinds of information that we can share, that we do share, that animals share with us, and we hear about from the animals, and we can tell the animals. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
That's really cool. And so how and when did you find out that you have this gift?
Well, you know, as a joke on myself, I always say I did not come out of the womb communicating with animals. You know, I wish I did, but on my story, I became a Reiki master, which is an energy healing technique that a lot of people are familiar with, at least for the word.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, when that happened, my dog started communicating with me. And there was a time where my dog Timmy, who had passed, showed up in the dining room, and he was, as they say in ghost place stories, a full body apparition. It was like he was sitting right there.
Oh wow!
And I'm at the stove, and I'm seeing him out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, Timmy, and I look at him, and he's gone.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but I gotta get dinner. Moving right along. So, my dog Mitsubishi. He's the kid's name, and he was a Siberian Husky.
Mm-hmm.
He saw me trying to do some Reiki on my little dog Eddie. She was also named by my kids. And she was on her way out, and she passed. And so later on, you know, he got older, and he had some hip issues. And so I'm doing Reiki on him on the couch, and he looked at me, and what I heard was, he said, "Don't try that shit on me. That's Eddie." he jumps off the couch and walks away, and I'm like, whoa.
Seriously?
Right? So, I didn't know what to do with it. I haven't heard of animal communicators, but, you know, he passed, and when he passed, Tibor came into my life, and he was a rescue dog, and he's the guy who really got me going, because he's a real rescue dog. He's probably a year and a half. So picture this: he's a pretty good looking dog. He's a Shar-Pei German Shepherd mix.
Oh,
not
cool.
Huge. Yeah. Broken teeth, scars.
Oh.
Yeah. And some aggression issues based on some fear.
Mm-hmm.
So Anthony's a really nice guy. We work through things, and I'm sitting on the couch again. Same couch, strangely enough. And every time I sit down, I see a picture of a man standing up with this huge suit of clothes and a dog, maybe German Shepherd, running at him and biting his arm.
Oof.
Yeah, and it's like the pictures I used to watch or see sometimes of dog training where they're teaching dogs to be maybe attack dogs or guard dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on here, but I got to find out.
Yeah.
So that was when I started going. I have a friend who used an animal communicator, and I went and started learning, getting training to do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then in doing it for just my dogs, and I did it for other people's horses and cats and dogs, and I found I really loved it.
That's so cool.
Great stuff.
It's really, really cool. And I mean, when you're communicating, or when they're communicating with you, so you're basically getting like complete sentences. You're not getting kind of like dog happy or something like that.
Yeah, with the animals that live with us, I get sentences. We have conversations, and I also see. You know, I see, it's not the full body apparition that Timmy had, but I see sort of they show me in symbols. How they're feeling, and I sometimes feel if there's some physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of that stuff. But, yeah, we definitely have conversations, and some of them are pretty funny.
I mean, you're so lucky. This is something I would love to be. I'm so jealous right now. I can't even tell you. I'm sitting here thinking of my cats like, oh, God, I'd love to be able to talk to them.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
If my cat could talk, he or she just told me this, I think you just got a communication from your cat, and you should just go with it. That's how it started with me, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because it's like, I know another animal communicator, and actually she's a Reiki master as well. So I'm wondering if there's something about Reiki that kind of like opens up a channel or something like that, that enables the communication to be formed, or if it's just coincidence, you know?
I don't think it is. I think it opens it up. And for those of us who like, we were already like, we'd love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It blossoms for us. Maybe that's what my theory is. Because I know a lot of Reiki masters, and they're all not animal communicators.
That's funny, too.
Some of us are, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, some people got it, some people don't, I suppose.
Yeah.
So do you speak to all animals, or are there like certain ones that like to talk to you?
Well, I can talk to all animals. Wild animals are, how do you say it? Like, they're not really attuned to talking to us or knowing that we're communicating with them. This is in my my world. It's like they got their own lives going on, and they're not really paying attention as much.
Mm-hmm.
I've had exceptions. The best one was, so I can communicate with all of them, but the best one I had was, I was coming down, driving down the George Washington Parkway, which is along the Potomac River.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, it's 45, and we all do 55. So, you know, so I see this fox, and he's getting ready to cross, and I know death is imminent, and I yell, "Don't do it!" And I see him look me in the eye, and he stops.
Oh my God!
kind of like, okay, one life was saved today.
Phew, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes I can get their attention. I just did a 3-day workshop of communicating with animals in sanctuaries in L.A.
Oh, cool.
That was great.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really good. I found out a family of gibbons, this is no lie, had the same parenting problems with their teenager that I had with my teenager.
I love it.
Right?
So we're not that different after all.
No. It was incredibly mind-blowing for me. So that's part of my experience is a day-to-day, not always paying attention to us, but certainly, you know, the channels could be open if we wanted to listen.
That's so cool. And so how long have you been doing this? How long have you been working with clients?
Well, I think it was kind of a transition, but I'm guessing so for about seven or eight years.
Cool.
I've been doing this. Yeah.
And like, what's the main reason that people contact you?
Well, they contact me mostly when their animal is doing something or not doing something, and it's frustrating. Mm. So, I feel like I'm a troubleshooter.
Okay.
So you know, you have animals that aren't eliminating where they're supposed to be. They're barking more. You know, it's driving the human nuts.
Yeah.
They're pulling on a leash. There's aggression issues. So those kinds of things. But also, there's they come to me when there's transition stuff, end of life stuff. When they want to know if their animal's ready to go, and they want me to help them through, and even talk to the animal after they've passed.
This is actually fascinating for me because actually a dear friend of mine lost their cat. I think yesterday or the day before. And so what happens when an animal passes?
Well, I don't, I'll tell you what I found out is their spirit survives the loss of the body, just like I see that humans survive the loss of the body. They stay, they are still, that entity still continues to survive. I've been able to contact them. I think after a period of time, they get a little more, how do you say it? They get less like cat-like or dog-like.
Okay.
And their soul kind of opens up because they're not in their dog body or their cat body or their horse body.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're definitely, I haven't had any problems connecting to animals who have survived. And the other thing is that they continue to love the people and that they were living with and care about them.
Mm.
Nice, right?
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah.
That's lovely. And it's funny, I had a Jack Russell that actually saved my life when I was a teenager, and he passed, needless to say, ages ago. But it's like, I don't remember my dreams often, but when I do, it's kind of like, huh, that's odd. And I had a dream about him, oh God, a couple months ago, I guess. And I mean, I swear to God, it was like he was there. And I don't have dreams like this, you know what I mean? And it was like, I could feel him on the bed, and I could feel the weight of him. I mean, it was so realistic that I woke up and was kind of like, huh. Okay, you know, and it was just so unusual and so like it happened, you know, that it really got me questioning like what exactly that was, if it was a dream or if it was some kind of a visit or, you know?
Yeah, I go with the visit one.
Makes sense.
I do.
That makes
me
feel
good. I think it's a visit. I think that you know, they like to give us the gift of knowing that they're still around and still love us.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is a really good way to do it.
It's really, really nice. And so when you have a client, do you do anything to prepare yourself for the session?
Yeah, a little bit. I get a picture of the animal. I like a recent picture. For some reason, the picture must have something in it. So it's more accurate for, for the now, as closer it is to when I do the reading.
Mm-hmm.
In the session, and then I clear out my own stuff. I you see it almost like any upset or things like that, they go kind of in a locker. So, and also check my body, because sometimes we do body scans and a check to either see if I can release any pains or say, oh, yeah, well, that left thigh, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because if we do a body scan, and sometimes I'll feel it in my body, I want to have checked myself to say, no, that's not me. I did not have a blinding headache before we got on this call.
Mm.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I do, and a little bit of just connecting with the picture just to get some information. Just not to, like, do a whole thing, but I get sort of some essence and some information about the animal that gives us a place to start, or, you know, get you, maybe you would say, prime the pump of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do.
Awesome. So what is a typical session like?
Yeah, so we're on, we either Skype or phone. It's remote.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually better for me to be able to concentrate when there's not a lot of movement and bodies and stuff going on. So I do remote. So we get together, and we set an intention to bring in the best information for everybody's highest good. And I think that just raises the vibration for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and it sets the tone. And I say a small prayer, and it's non-denominational.
Nice.
Right? I mean, that's all. And the point is that when you open yourself up to information, what you only want is the good stuff, and you don't want to open it up to anything else. And there's other stuff out there. So the prayer just keeps it all in the positive,
nice.
Safe place.
Nice.
And then, okay. If they want to, I'll do a visualization with them that helps give them a chance to feel like the brainwaves that I've been taught that communicates with animals, so that if they have any abilities, this might just open them up a little more to starting to communicate easier with their own animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into, I ask the animal to come in, and it feels like the animal walks into my office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, because sometimes they're like, oh, you got cats. You know, it's a dog, like, oh, you know, whatever. I said, you don't bother them, they won't bother you, you know. And dogs, and sometimes they'll jump up in my lap, give me it's very nice. And how they show up will tell me something about them, whether they, you know, tell me about their personalities. And then we will start the conversation. I will share what I got from the picture, and I will say, do they have anything for the person? And the person will say it, and then the person will tell them what they want
mm-hmm.
to know. And we'll start talking back and forth about it.
And so do your pets know that you're doing this? Like, are they aware that there's another animal in the room, basically?
Sometimes my little dog Stella gets this really like, so yeah, T-Bar doesn't seem to care too much, or the cats don't usually get, but Stella's sometimes like, hey, yeah, there's something here, Mom.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah. And we'll do some healing as well, because, you know, with Reiki, there's healing. And when dogs have emotional issues, and their people do,
mm-hmm.
then we can do some healing to get that, sometimes get that out of the way so the behaviors can change.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, we need to take a quick break for station identification. I'm talking to Mary Beth Decker, pet communicator and owner of Sacred Grove Pets. We'll be back in about a minute and a half, so just stay tuned.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
Hey, like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Hey, and we are back. I am speaking to Mary Beth Decker, animal communicator and owner and founder of Sacred Grove Pets. So, Mary Beth, when you're doing these sessions and stuff, is there anything typical that the animals will, or something that you've heard over and over from animals and these things that the, like a common thread or anything like that?
You know, I really thought about that one. And animals are like people. They have a number of things that they say. And so it's always, I never know what I'm going to hear. One of the common threads is that they really love their people.
Oh.
They really love their people. They are, and a lot of them, you know, I work with people who love their animals, right? I mean, people don't come to me. That's who shows up.
But, yeah, totally.
But the animals love their people.
Oh.
They do, and that is, and what's really nice is when we're talking about animals who have transitioned, mm-hmm. and, you know, people have, some of us have guilt over how the transition went down. You know, you have to make a decision that you don't always do, you don't need to if you're human. You got to figure out when, how, where.
Yeah.
You have to stop a life that you love.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. We just have bad feelings about it. We feel guilt, and we wonder if we did it too fast. They never are angry at their people. I haven't seen that. They're like, no, you did fine. You made a good decision. I'm great. I'm fine. I love you. You know, that has been the case with all the folks, all the animals that have passed. They're good, and they're loving their people.
So do you believe in reincarnation, or are these just souls that are just souls for eternity?
I believe in reincarnation. I didn't have an opinion on it with animals, but now I have at least two animals in my family that I think have been in the family before. So,
Cool.
Oh, yeah. So my cat, Mac, mm-hmm. Was actually my daughter's cat. And became part of our family, Mac and Brett, two brothers and sisters, when my daughter graduated from college and went to India.
Oh, wow.
So they're now part of the family. And I kept calling him Tom. I'm like, Tom? Oh, that's my grandmother's cat. So, and I kept seeing a picture that we had of me very small with Tom. And I thought, no, that guy's come back. That's mine. And more recently, my son's dog, who had just passed away, Peanut, I believe, yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry.
She was my dog back when I was in the Navy. She's my first dog. She came back, and we had some issues. I was not a great dog person then. Never had dogs before, and I was able. We worked some things out.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, I was there for her transition, and I helped her through it. And you know, I did the body. I mean, I did some really nice things for her.
Nice.
And I made amends.
Good.
Right.
God, that's so nice to hear. It's nice to hear that they're forgiving as well. You know, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people think is that, like, you know, an animal's going to be like people can, that they can hold grudges. Yeah. And obviously, I assume some can, but they just seem to be much sweeter.
Me too, but I haven't met. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right. I just feel like animals are sweeter than we are. I don't think they're as horribly. I would like to believe they're not as horribly jaded as we are, but I mean, I would assume a few are.
You know, I assume too, but I haven't met them yet.
Oh, good. Good. That's good news.
I don't know. I think they just maybe. I don't know. I haven't got a theory about it yet. I can just tell you that they are very forgiving and loving, and they're okay.
Have you ever been surprised at what an animal said to you?
I've had that a few times. It's in a funny way. I had an older dog that I was checking to see if he was ready to pass. He had cancer, and he wasn't. He was acting up because they brought a puppy in.
Uh-uh.
We straightened all that out. But so in my head, I'm thinking, I'm so connected to this older dog. How do they put up with this yapping puppy? I'm not saying it out loud.
Yeah.
It's the client.
Yeah.
But I hear the dog talk back to me, and he says, you know, that's some of the good things of losing your hearing when you get older. It doesn't bother you as much. Right?
Oh, my God. How do you keep a straight face?
I didn't. I said, you can't believe what I just heard from this guy. And that was my, I mean, animals have a sense of humor.
Yeah, they
can
do.
Anyway. I mean, they can.
Yeah, they do. That's for sure. God, especially horses. I think horses are just giant goofballs, you know? They're always like, they love practical jokes, and they love doing stupid things, and they're super, super fun for that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear about your book. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I wrote the book, Peace in Passing, Comfort for Loving Humans During Animal Transitions, because I did a lot of work with animals who passed,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a lot of people hurting. I mean, I talked to a guy one time and over the phone, and he was sobbing, and he was totally broken down. I thought, well, when did your dog pass? He said, 2007.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh.
Okay. All right. So, since I started working with animals who have transitioned, I have a lot of good stories, and I think they bring a lot of comfort to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff around their animals survive their death,
mm-hmm.
and that they still love us, and they have opinions about, you know, what they'd like to have before they pass, how they'd like their transition to go, and
really,
and so. So my girlfriend's cat told her he didn't want to die alone.
Oh my God.
That was important because it was just Debbie and Chasworth.
Uh-huh.
And Debbie went to work every day. So, you know, so when the time came, she made sure that she set up a date before he got so sick, and
mm-hmm.
there was a chance, and brought him in and was with him. But you know, I hear stuff like that, or they want to be on the front lawn, and they want the kids to be around as well as the parents.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Well, this is like thought out like a human, like, you know, and it's like, you know, and I will have roses on my casket, and, you know, it's
amazing. Talk about being surprised. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then if you can do it, then how much better do you feel? You still miss them, but you're like, well, but.
At least you gave them the
front lawn.
Yeah, you know, they got the send-off that they wanted and that they deserved, which is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wrote a lot of stories for people to give them some ideas of how they can deal with their own pain and how mm-hmm. they can put it in perspective. I think is the best way to say it.
And so for someone who's had a pet that's transitioned recently, do you have any tips on helping them cope with the transition? Is there anything that they can do to help the animal transition easier or do anything to aid their transition once they've passed?
If the animal's already passed?
Yeah.
You know, there is sending love and light that's kind of my equivalent of praying for them. But if mm-hmm. you want to pray for them, it's sending love and light. Tell them you really love them,
mm-hmm.
and you just want them to be happy. You want them to relax, enjoy themselves. Letting them, just letting them know you still love them, and you would welcome some communication. And also say, I won't make it hard. If you come in a dream,
mm-hmm.
I will believe it. I feel you sleeping next to me, I will believe it. These are real stories. If you come and I feel like you just licked my face while I was in bed, I will just believe it.
Mm.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, so just give them a lot of love and light and tell them, you tell them how much you love them and that you're going to be okay because you know they're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
here's a really random question for you. This is bizarre, so I just want to know if by any chance you know, because it doesn't seem to be that many people do or anybody does. Do you think that there are animals that can be stuck in, like, the ghost phase? I had this apartment years ago. This is the weirdest thing. And I had a cat that would never jump on my bed. And one night I'm curled up on my side facing the wall, and I feel my cat jump up on the bed and circle and kind of lie in the crook of my knees. And I was like, this is unusual. And I look down and my cat's on the floor with these eyes as big as saucers, like, oh my God, what's going on? And I looked around and there was actually the indentation of it, of something. In my crook. And it was like, what is going on here? And my cat was just flipped out. And it's like, I don't know if that was something just visiting or if they're like actually are like ghost kitties and ghost dogs that like travel the planet with us, like humans.
Yeah. So I do think it's hard to say whether they were just coming back to visit or they were ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there are ghosts, kitties and doggies. I actually do, sometimes I do some healing for, animals who have been, they had some bad endings, let's just say it that way, we'll go into it, because I think maybe then, like humans, they're kind of stuck in the ending.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I think it's possible. I believe go okay, but I think there are exceptions. I won't even say probably. I think there are exceptions of getting stuck.
Yeah. And then it's like, I mean, because you're able to actually have a dialogue with these animals,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how smart are they?
Oh, two times where animals who have passed, we've checked in with them, and they're giving deep advice to their guardians.
Wow.
So my girlfriend's cat, Chasworth, we checked in with him afterwards, and now I'm not at the house. I haven't visited Debbie for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Chasworth says, Debbie, you're getting to be a bit of a hoarder. You need to really
Into
her parents' house and brought her stuff in. All right, so he said, you really need to make this house your own. It's your house now.
Wow.
You need to, And the cat's telling her this.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know. And I go, Debbie, is this, And she goes, yeah, I think he's right.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So they had the capability. I mean, I can't say everybody.
Yeah.
But I had a horse tell his guardian, give her some advice that was very good for her life as well. And I was in awe.
That's wild.
Because I didn't know her well enough. So I said, does this mean any sense to you? And she says, yeah, it does.
Wow. I mean, for me, it makes sense because I spent so much time. When I was a child, I was terribly shy. And so I wound up spending a lot of time with a lot of animals. And it was mostly it was some pets, but it was also horses, occasionally a sheep. Like when I was living in Spain, I became best friends with a mule, things like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, I was, well, when I lived in Spain, it was a whole different thing because I didn't speak Spanish and I was the only blonde kid in this little tiny town in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Spain. So I was like, this sucks because like everyone knew who I was and they'd all come running up to me and start speaking and I could understand Spanish, but I was just shy. And so it was tough to learn it. And I got such a bond with these animals and it was like, I just felt that they knew and that they had empathy for me, you know, and were like, it's okay, kid, don't hang out with them. Let's go for a walk through the mountains and stuff like that, you know, and I've always Absolutely. Felt this bond of just, and it was funny, actually, I was working with this crazy horse one time. He was a show horse, and we were buddies. I mean, he was my pal. And at the time, my boyfriend was riding this horse and competing it, and I was taking care of it. And, this really creepy guy was working the showgrounds. And so he would come over every morning and just kind of like bother me and things like this. And I was holding Johnny. And one day Johnny was like, I'm done. And just grabbed this guy by literally the chest and just bit him and just held on and then just shook the hell out of him and let him go. And let me tell you, I never saw him again. And it was like, thanks, Johnny. It was like, that was awesome.
Right,
you know?
On.
It was great.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, these guys are very much aware, and thank you all you animals who do this for us.
Seriously, I mean, there's so many stories of like, you know, somebody breaking in the house or doing this, and like, you know, even like, you know, and the cat attacked the burglar, you know, or it's like so yes. random, or it's like the pet rat jumped out of its cage and attacked this person and made them leave, and it's like. Yeah, it's amazing to me. It's like, well, they must know what in the hell's going on, because if not, they would just be like, oh, hi. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're way smarter than we give them credit for.
They are. They are. I mean, they're just... My little cat, Brick, she's a kind of an... She's getting better. She's slightly ornery. Mm-hmm. But what she does for me is she comes loose by me, and she releases all... She's done this a couple times. She releases all the mental tension in my head. You know those nights where you're just tossing and turning?
Yeah.
You cannot turn your head off? She'll come in, and like 10 minutes later, it's all good.
Oh, my God, I want to borrow your cat. I need this cat right now.
Right?
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Miss Ornery, you cannot have her.
Okay, fine.
but it's like all kinds of abilities, and then... And understandings, yes.
I love it. And it's, you know, in my book, it's like this whole belief that certain people have of like, you know, we're so superior to the animals and, you know, people and all this stuff. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all organisms and we're all cellular matter. And they're just put in different, you know, proportions and different numbers in order. And that's the reason why, you know, I'm not a houseplant is because of, you know, DNA and cool things like that. So it's like when you have all these... beings that eat and breathe and walk and, you know, do this, you would think that there's got to be, you know, some level of intelligence for this to have continued on. And I don't know if it's universal intelligence or what exactly the right terminology is, but it's like, you know, short of like us having thumbs and being able to do math, I mean... I believe that animals, you know, animals have certain jobs. And this is one of the things about this show that I really love, is I love bringing on experts on certain animals and, you know, what is their role in the animal kingdom, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, some people will call it instinct, some people will call it innate ability and all that, but it's really like, I don't think it's that simple, you know? I think they know. I think that they're aware of their place. Like, this whole thing about animals, like, oh, they don't know. They just kind of exist, and they can't tell the passing of time. You know, a minute is the same as 10 hours to a cat. I refuse to believe that. Maybe I'm totally wrong on that, but, like, they don't seem... I mean, my cats are pissed when I come home late. They're like, where have you been?
I know.
You know?
They've done studies. I mean, they've been... Yeah, that's one of the things I do sometimes is tell animals how long their people are going to be gone. Sometimes we'll do it by sunrises or, you know, I mean, but you know, yeah, they have a sense of time. They get it. They're more calm. They do get it. And they've also done studies. I can't tell you, but animals knew when their people were supposed to be home, and they knew that when they were coming home, their behavior changed when the person left the office.
Yes, it's that book of dogs that know when their owners are coming home. And I think that actually is the title of the book. And it is case study upon case study upon case study. I think it came out like in the, either the late 90s or the early 2000s. It's been around. Yeah. But it gets to the point, and it's very sweet because it's written by a Brit. So it's like Snooky, the Yorkshire Terrier of Leeds. No, you know, it's great. It's really, really cute. But it's like pages and pages and pages and pages. And it's like, this can't be a coincidence.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's no way this is a coincidence. And some people will say, well, you know, my dog sits by the front door the second I leave. And, you know, of course they're going to be there when I get home. I don't know about you, but I couldn't sleep for 8 to 12 hours in the same spot. You know, it's like, they're not doing that.
No, they're not doing that.
Mm-mm.
No, they're not doing that. There's some kind of a connection that they have with us.
And so what's your favorite thing about your ability to talk to the animals?
You know what? I hit two, but I'll tell you the first one that I love the most is one... Because we're dealing with animal problems or things that just drive people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So when the animal starts understanding what the issue is and changing their behavior and everybody gets happier, I love that because, you know, we have animals in our lives. Those of us who have pets have animals in our lives because we want to enjoy them. And, you know, when you can spend more time enjoying them instead of being mad at them.
Totally.
Totally. And then the other thing is just what you and I've been talking about is, you know, this is much more, the world is much richer, much deeper now that I'm communicating with animals. I just see it, I'm continuing to see it in different, unusually cool ways.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Marybeth, I could talk to you for hours. This is so cool.
This has been so great.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You.
I'm serious. Like, I got to end the show, and I don't want to end the show. I've got sitting here with, like, 10,000 questions. I'm like, oh! So, I mean, I would love to have you on another time if that would be okay with you.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. Thank you.
Thank you. I have totally enjoyed this. And where can our listeners find your book, and where can they find you?
Okay. I have a website, sacredgrove.com, and you can find the book there, or you can find it on Amazon as well. So, sacredgrove.com. If that wasn't necessary, but that's one way to get me, Google me, and find me, and the book as well.
I'm totally picking it up. I'm an avid reader, and I'm actually kind of amazed I haven't read your book yet because I usually eat these things up. So apparently it's been hiding from me, but I will find it this week. I promise you that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This was awesome, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time. I learned a lot, so that was great. And I wish you luck on your future endeavors, and I will absolutely be tracking you down in the future because we need to do this again.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And appreciate giving me the time.
Oh, my God. It was my pleasure. This was great. I love this kind of stuff. So this is one of my favorite things. And having communicators on my show, I love it because it really, I think it helps, you know, the average Joe get an understanding of what this bond is that they have with their pets.
Uh-huh.
And understand actually how deep it is. And, you know, the fact is like when an animal passes, how much it does affect the owners or, you know, the family around it. And this is one of the reasons why is because that bond is so deep.
You got it. Yeah. You got it.
You are awesome.
Yeah,
I love this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for all you other people out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I will have a new episode next week. So if you need to hear more, you can find me on Facebook, on Animal Instinct. On Twitter, I am at The Food Healer. And on Instagram, I am at Animal Instinct Radio. I hope you all have a great week. And until then, take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.